This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. On Saturday, people around the world gathered in the streets to march in solidarity for women's rights and voices. The turnout was larger than expected. Here in Vermont, the state police had to shut down exits on the interstate on either side of the state capitol, saying Montpelier could not handle the influx of any more vehicles. 15 to 20,000 people descended on the city, holding signs, chanting, and getting to know one another on a march from the high school to the state house. There they gathered for speeches and performances by Muslim Girls Making Change, Sue Minter, Bernie Sanders. Some Vermonters drove or took buses to New York City and Washington, D.C., where hundreds of thousands of people marched. The hub in this hub-and-spoke model of sister marches was the Women's March on Washington, where an estimated 500,000 people showed up. VPR reporters also traveled to Montpelier and Washington, D.C., and spoke with many Vermonters, men and women, who felt a push to be part of this particular moment. But what is this moment, and where does it go from here? Today on the program, we're going to give Vermonters a chance to tell us why you marched or why you didn't and what it was like. But we also want to hear your perspective on what happens next. Where does this energy get channeled? Are there specific causes or actions that you plan to take now? Share your thoughts with us. You can call in 1-800-639-2211. Again, that's 800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. And we're joined this hour by two VPR reporters who were covering the marches. Rebecca Sinanis traveled with a busload of Vermonters to Washington, D.C. for the march there. And Annie Russell covered the Montpelier March. Hi, Annie. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Hi, Jane.
Rebecca, I'd love to hear a little bit about what it was like for you. You got on the bus. You had to travel through the night. You're traveling with this busload of Vermonters to Washington, D.C. Can you just tell us a little bit about what the mood was like?
Yeah, the energy was really positive and really high. Even when the bus broke down at 4 a.m. after the rally, people were still wearing their pink hats. People were really excited. I think they felt really charged in this moment. And when they got to D.C., they were met by thousands of people. You know, I had some of the Vermonters say, this is more people than exist in our state. So I think they really, from what I observed, they felt part of a larger movement.
Did the people on your bus, Rebecca, know one another, or were there people traveling alone and saying, this is, you know, something that I'm doing on my own?
I think there was definitely a mix, but I think a lot of the people knew one another, sort of connected to one another. A friend said that they were going. The next friend said that they were going. There were mothers and daughters. There was a mother and son. I think it was a mix of people coming together for the first time and communities coming out as a whole.
Annie, Russell, for you, you drove to Montpelier by yourself. You didn't have to take a bus there. And you got to Montpelier, I guess, just before the interstate was closed off.
Yeah, I kind of barely made it. I definitely observed a lot of that traffic that we heard so much about, that maybe I-89 in Vermont is not quite used to that level of traffic. And so they were just starting to close the Montpelier exit, exit 8, when I made it in through back roads, had got off the highway just in time. And I saw people stuck on the highway. I saw folks having to kind of go through the median and turn around and just say, forget it, we're going back. So yeah, there were the traffic and the just the influx of people at Montpelier, I think, about doubled its population on Saturday. And so that was a definite challenge for some folks in getting there.
And what was the mood like as the march started?
I mean, it was really striking to see that many people in Montpelier. If you're familiar with Montpelier, it's not necessarily the biggest city on earth. And so just having that many folks there, but just not everyone sort of had a different mood. A lot of people I talked to were just sort of despondent, were really upset about Donald Trump being sworn in. And other people were energized and saying, OK, we're ready to march. And so there was definitely a mix, but absolutely peaceful in mood.
My understanding, no arrests made in Montpelier at
no.
the march. And Rebecca, is it true no arrests actually made in Washington, D.C. either? That's what I had
yeah.
been reading.
The D.C. police have reported zero arrests, and that's compared to the day before during inauguration protests when there were about 200. And I will say I saw police officers cheering people on, some even wearing pink hats. I spoke to a DC officer at the end of the day who was just like so full of energy. And it was amazing to see them keep order, you know, make sure people were safe, keep people on the streets. But still, in some ways, they were part of this movement. But yeah, zero arrests were made, according to the DC police on Saturday.
Rebecca, what did the Vermonters who you traveled with tell you about why they were going to Washington, D.C.? You know, why they weren't going to the march in Montpelier, but why they felt this desire and this energy to go to D.C. for it?
You know, I think that there were all sorts of reasons for people. I heard people say things like climate change was their big motivator. I heard people say it's about, you know, making sure that we are heard, that nobody thinks we're sitting down at this point. You know, it was amazing to see this sort of come out of grassroots. Most of the people that I spoke with said that the moment they heard the Women's March in D.C. was happening, they knew they were going, the moment they saw that on Facebook. So I think some of these people may have even committed to going to the D.C. rally before they realized how big the sister marches were going to be. So I think that's where it came from, is from the moment they knew that this was happening, they were ready to go.
We're talking about the women's marches that took place all over the country this past Saturday, and we're going to hear the voices of those who marched. We want to know what the experience was like for you, and where do you go from here? Where are you targeting any energy you felt now? Where are you putting it? What do you expect to do on actions? Or is this feeling of togetherness, this sort of Emil Durkheim-esque collection of people coming together with a shared purpose enough? Is that the purpose in and of itself? Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Jane in Peacham marched in Boston. She says, about a week ago, I posted on Facebook asking my friends if they were marching on Saturday and where. I received a long list of replies from friends and relatives attending everywhere from the big D.C. march to small ones like Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Greenfield, Massachusetts. Yesterday, a friend marching in San Francisco posted, I never had a sister, but now I have lots. To which I replied, yes, you do, and we're all over the world. Our family is huge. That sums up my feelings and the energy I carried away from the day and the march I did in Boston with a close relative. Friends from my distant past and present were out marching somewhere. I feel very fortunate to have participated in this collective ritual with everyone. Now the hard work begins. Susan says, I was proud to be there and voted in the election and certainly knew why I was there. I care about health care, especially as a two-time cancer survivor, affordable child care, equal wages, and a livable wage for all of us. President Trump spoke about the middle class during his speech while billionaires sat behind him nodding. The cabinet he wants in office are all opposite to what and who they're going to represent. I'll continue to stay informed and do what I can to help our state and country. And a listener posting as Facts, Reasons, Justice says, I'm a man. I marched with thousands of other men Saturday in Montpelier, among them my own teenage sons. Let's go to Elise calling in from Essex Junction. Hi, Elise. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for having this program today. I marched in Montpelier. I'm originally from Chicago, and my entire family in Chicago marched. I felt pretty vulnerable after the election. I felt scared for the first time. Other Republican presidents have been elected, and I've been disgruntled or disappointed, but never afraid. And I think that made me feel pretty isolated. So coming together with my community and understanding how strongly Vermonters feel about his election and what we're going to do about it is pretty important to me. So being there made me feel better and also spurred me to action. So the question about what am I doing next, because I don't think it can stop here, is I'm going to run for local office with my eye on federal office.
Wow.
So I'm ready to go. Emerge Vermont is the organization that I'm hoping to take some training with, formed by Madeline Coonan, who also spoke yesterday. And a lot of Vermont women are fired up and ready to run. So I'm ready, and I'm willing to take it as far as I need to make sure I can protect women, Vermonters, and everyone else who is working towards our cause.
Elise, thank you for sharing your thoughts. Interesting to hear that. Annie Russell, you, again, were at the march and the rally in Montpelier. Did you hear that call for more women in government?
I did, and it wasn't really limited to just government. I talked to one young woman who said, hey, I work in the education field, and this is making me realize I need to get more involved in my union or, you know, discussions. I need to get more involved in my local community. And former gubernatorial candidate Sue Minter spoke during the rally, and she had a lot to say about calling the women at the march to action.
So let's make this day a call to action for each and every one of us in whatever way you can be an agent of change. It can be volunteering in your school, in your church, synagogue, or mosque. It can be running for office. We need you, especially if you're a woman.
So clearly, that was definitely the feeling at this march. Call to action. What's happening next? What can these local women do? And a lot of women that I spoke to after the rally said, I am energized. I'm ready to do more.
We heard from Katie, who says 24 teens and parents started their journey to D.C. on a bus that suffered a flat tire less than 10 miles from departure. This was after our original bus canceled a few weeks ago. Our amazing bus drivers arranged another bus at 11 p.m., and we were on our way. The 16 teens from Thetford Academy's Gender Equity Club fundraised, organized, and convinced their parents that their voices needed to be heard in Washington. Nothing was going to deter these young adults from participating in this event. They stood for 5 hours in their pink pussy hats, listening to passionate speeches and songs before marching for another 2 hours. The men and women who spoke about wage earnings, human rights, reproductive rights, discrimination, respect, and love were more powerful than any textbook or class lecture. We all yelled, cheered, cried, stomped, danced, waved, took more pictures than should be legally allowed, were kind to others, and were in awe of the power of the people. Every person there showed the world that action through love, compassion, and kindness towards others is what we need to move forward and be heard. We were surrounded on all sides by strangers by name, but friends by cause. Joanne and Faiston also marched in D.C. and says, we marched to say, take note. Americans care, are strong and kind, and will continue to rise up for women's rights, civil rights, human rights, our planet, equal opportunity, health care, gun safety, science, freedom of the press, honesty in government, world peace-centered leadership, social programs to lift up the less fortunate and oppressed, and being not only a strong world neighbor, but also a good and kind world neighbor. This momentum is momentum of love and peace, yet we are strong and will continue to rise. Boy, lots of topics on the agenda for many people marching today. Gretel is calling in from Brownsville. Hi, Gretel. What are you thinking?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for the show. Yeah, I since the election, I've been embarrassed and felt really vulnerable until the march on Saturday. It was amazing. It was so reinforcing in terms of we who marched are on the right track, that something will be done. I went up with two other women. We're all in our 70s, so we're all of the hippie period and ready to march even more. And the electoral, I guess my target right now is changing the electoral college, that it's got to go.
Gretel, thanks for your comments. Appreciate hearing your perspective and this idea that the electoral college is where you focus your energies. As we know, Donald Trump did not win the popular vote. He did win in the electoral college, and there has certainly been anger about that since then. Kim is on the line with us from Wheelock. Hi, Kim. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I went to the march in Washington, D.C., which was an absolutely incredible experience. And I went to march for working class and poor women who had to work and couldn't go to march. That was my goal about going. I also want to say that I think that there was a lot of Trump, a lot of negative Trump stuff there. And I want to say that I really think that our problem isn't necessarily Trump, but global capitalism. I think it's important to remember. So it was a great experience. And I came back with an energized feeling about really doing more community work.
Kim, thanks for your perspective. I appreciate hearing that. Let's get one more in here from Jean in Burlington. Hi, Jean. Did you march?
Hi, yes. My family and I marched on Saturday in Montpelier. I drove down, actually, with three other women who had never done a march before. And when I was there, I was listening to people talking, and there were a lot of first-timers there, which was really inspiring for me as a person who has been doing this for years. But the one point I really want to make is that what we're seeing now in terms of activism is that the different causes are finally realizing that we are all allies and that those silos are being broken down. So that recently I went to a march in Burlington, for instance, for immigration, and the people from 350 Vermont were there. And so that's the kind of thing that I think is happening, which is really exciting. And on our way home in the car, there were conversations about, well, what do we do next? There's so much to, sink our teeth into, but we don't have time. We're working. And my advice to people is just to do something a little bit more. Nudge yourself to just become aware of one issue, for instance, or sign a petition. Just do a little bit more than you've done before. And then everything is going to just be great.
Jean, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your perspective. We're getting so many thoughts here today on people who marched, people who didn't march, people who chose to go to Washington, D.C., and those who went to Montpelier, and people thinking on the local level and the global level. One of the questions we're asking today is, what happens next? What do you do if you were energized by this call to action? What is the action? What is the call you are heeding? Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Nicole says, this was wonderful. By far the most important question now is, what's next? Scott says, I came with my girlfriend, her two girls, and my son because I know what kind of a world my partner and I want our kids growing up in. It's one where the wage gap evaporates, both sexes and the whole gender spectrum are treated equally. Rebecca, did you see many men marching in Washington, D.C.? Did you see a role for men in the march?
Yeah, definitely. I spent a lot of time with 17-year-old Sam Darmstadt of Middlesex, and he had a "I Stand with Planned Parenthood" sign high above his head, and he felt, or it seemed to me that he felt as impassioned as a lot of the women there. I think at the rally, it was mostly women speaking and talking about giving women an opportunity to lead, but there were certainly men represented there, but a lot of them were representing for support for women's causes.
Yeah, we got a note from Ken and Brandon who says, I went as well to support equality for all. I was, however, shamed for being a man that supports my equal rights as a father. This movement is great, but to exclude fathers somehow defeats the claim. Rebecca, did you see any sense of a little bit of tension among people who were trying to maybe focus the march or focus the energy in one direction or another? Ken saying, you know, he wasn't necessarily welcomed as somebody trying to be there to support fathers' rights.
You know, I personally didn't see that. There were two men out of the 55 people on the bus that I went down, but I only saw a small section, of course, of the rally, which was huge. But from what I saw, it was inclusive. I saw men, I saw women standing together.
Annie?
You know, one thing that was really interesting to me is every time I approached a man who was holding a sign or in some cases a puppet or just something interesting, he said, you know what, you talk to my wife, talk to my girlfriend, talk to my daughter. You know, I really want her voice to be front and center here.
Yeah, so interesting. We're hearing voices today, people who marched on Washington, marched on Montpelier, and we're asking the question, what happens next? We'd love your perspective. And if you didn't march, if you didn't feel welcomed, or if you had another reason for saying this is not the movement for me, we'd like to hear your perspective as well. You can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or call 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition. Today we're listening to stories from the women's marches around the country. Montpelier's march was larger than anticipated, a phenomenon replicated in a lot of towns and cities around the country. Globally, several million people gathered. Did you march? why? If you opposed the march, we'd like to hear why. I've heard from some pro-life women that they felt their voices weren't welcome. Tell us your perspective. I'm also interested in hearing about the emergence of other causes and how they might intersect with this women's movement. Does being a part of this reemergence of the women's movement carry over into other areas? Are you more likely to lend your voice to another issue of gender or race? We are hearing from so many people today. Maggie in Putney says, in addition to all the thousands of Vermonters who drove or got on buses, planes, or trains to attend women's marches in Washington, New York, Boston, or Montpelier, many in southeastern Vermont demonstrated solidarity in local demonstrations. In Brattleboro, more than 200 people gathered for a sister vigil. In Putney, at least 15 people demonstrated in the center of the village. Shannon in Burlington says, I had to go, even with a baby due next week. We need to show the government and the world that we will not stand by quietly and accept the proposed changes by the House and Executive Office. Mia in Barry says, I did not join the demonstrations on Saturday. If a simple nuance of White House occupant could positively impact the havoc humans are wreaking upon the earth, the last 3 years would not have each surpassed the former as the hottest on record. Humans have fought countless wars throughout our bloodied history, and now, when we have something of paramount importance for which to fight, namely the future of life as we know it, the most educated and aware amongst us gather for peaceful protest. I will join a march on Washington when the invitation reads, Come Bearing Arms. All right, so what issues are important to you, and how is this energy being galvanized and directed? At the March on Montpelier, State Representative Kaya Morris of Bennington spoke about this.
We need you in here. We need you to come to the Workers' Caucus, who fights for labor rights. We need you to come to the Climate Caucus and make sure there's a planet left to talk about. We need you at the Women's Caucus to come and make sure that gender equality is still on the top of our minds. We need you there. We need your organizing help. We need your capacity. We cannot do it alone. Please.
I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm here in the studio today with VPR reporters Annie Russell, who covered the march in Montpelier, and Rebecca Sinanis, who traveled with a busload of Vermonters to the march in Washington. Lend your voice, 1-800-639-2211, or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Annie, you recorded that sound of Kaya Morris talking at the Unity rally after the march in Montpelier. Was there a sense that other movements could benefit from this huge upsurge in energy and emotion?
Well, I think you just heard Kaya Morris talk about that. And certainly the march organizers seem to be taking that perspective into account. There were speakers from Black Lives Matter, from LGBTQ organizations, from Muslim Girls Making Change. And so you had a variety of perspectives. I thought it was interesting that the entire thing was interpreted in American Sign Language. And in the crowd, you know, you saw folks with Planned Parenthood t-shirts and hats next to church groups, and you saw men and women and all along the gender spectrum. And so I think we did see that diversity.
Rebecca Sinanis, when the march on Washington was being organized, you know, there was a little kerfuffle before the march about a pro-life women's group who was originally listed as an organizer and then taken off the organizing list. Do you think all women's voices, regardless of political persuasion or belief on certain subjects like abortion, were welcomed? Or was this a march where, you know, certain issues were highlighted and others were not?
That's an interesting question. I think it was controversial. Nobody that I heard on the bus seemed to have a specific problem about it, that they spoke with me. At the rally, which was sort of at the center of this march, issues from boycotting the Muslim registry to Black Lives Matter and immigration were present. A six-year-old girl gave a very impassioned speech to a huge crowd, both in Spanish and in English, about immigration. But I did see a couple of very small groups talking about the importance of pro-life at the rally. Mostly, excuse me, they were excuse me, it's been a long night.
Yes.
Mostly they were surrounded by peaceful protesters in drum circles trying to drown out their voices. So I think the jury is still out on that. I've heard lots of perspectives on whether or not pro-life women are invited to this cause.
If you are a woman who is pro-life, I'd like your perspective as well. Our phones are ringing off the hook, so if you can't get through on the phone line, be sure to share your perspective if you'd like to on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or on Facebook or Twitter. Let's go to Nadahe, calling in from Cabot. Hi, go right ahead.
Hi there. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm a 40-year-old independent contractor from Cabot, and I went with my son and wife and other family members and friends, and definitely is a part of a bigger call to action. I felt for sure, and everyone I talked to, I think, felt that way. I've never been so proud of Vermonters. There were so many folks. Racism and sexism are real, where the administration is full of policies and folks pushing policies that are so, you know, without being hyperbolic, you know, fascism is a military and corporate alliance that thrives off of the population being divided against itself, and we see this administration going full bore on that. I wanted to share that I got to town early in Montpelier and went for a 7-mile run, like around town. I went in three different directions. I went like a mile and a half or two out of town, you know, and there were human beings everywhere on every street in every vein. You know, I talked to people parked miles out of town, you know, on top of all of the highway traffic backed up and people that never made it there. I counted that it took an hour and a half that I could figure for people to walk the three blocks for just everyone to get from the high school to the state house. And there was never not room for folks, and folks are leaving before other people even made it there. I've never been so proud. Definitely a call to action. And we're not taking this standing. We're not taking this sitting down, you know, at all. And whatever the, we love how you guys do Vermont, by the way, but with a lot of the rest of the media, we can't look through to this man's heart while he's punching us in the face and sexually assaulting us. We just can't do it. And anyway, we're mobilizing and fighting, and we won't give up. And thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your perspective. Appreciate that. You know, one of the ironies, Annie Russell, is that there the highway exits were shut down on the way to and from Montpelier because the state police said, look, we just can't handle an influx of cars. And the irony when you look at some of the aerial photos is that there actually was a lot of parking spaces.
There was. And I noticed that as well. By the time I got to Montpelier, I said, there's a ton of parking here. Why did they shut down the exits? But clearly, you know, there was such an influx of people that I think some of that might have been preemptive.
Also, you probably couldn't get to the downtown parking spaces.
No, it was very hard to actually sort of get there. So the parking wasn't necessarily the issue from what I observed, but getting to the parking. Although I did talk to a few folks at the march who said, you know, they just weren't exactly sure why and how that decision was made to shut down the exits. But it certainly was interesting.
We got a question from Bunny in Chelsea who says, I find it interesting that our new Republican governor chose to spend Saturday judging a chili contest rather than attend or speak at the Women's March where 15,000 citizens were gathered. Now, Phil Scott was one of the judges at a chili contest that was scheduled to run from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Annie Russell, no sign of him, though, at the march after that?
No, and that's something that I heard from of quite a few folks that I talked to, just hoping for his attendance and not seeing it.
Let's go to Monica calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Monica. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a South Burlington resident, but I took the bus down to Washington. And I was really inspired by, well, everybody, but Michael Moore had such a great list of action items for all of us. And I would encourage everyone to YouTube his speech. But as a Vermonter in a very blue state, I was very motivated when he said that it's so important right now for blue states to pass local laws that can help create the normalcy that we need across this country to encourage other states to follow our lead. And that really motivated me. And I'm actually going tonight to the South Burlington State Legislature's meeting. They hold it at the library at 7 o'clock, and the goal is to hear from residents. So I'm going, and I'm going to give them a list.
Monica, thanks for your call. Appreciate hearing your perspective. Caitlin says, I participated in the Sister March in Concord, New Hampshire. It was wonderful to see all of the community love and support. Lindsay says, as Vermonters living abroad, it's been a challenge staying connected on local and national political issues, especially during and immediately after this election. My husband, son, and I were grateful for the opportunity to join other women, men, and children marching in Geneva, Switzerland, and around the world to share our voices, hopes, concerns, and expectations for the future. And Katie tweeted this, actions since the march. I joined Planned Parenthood, Natural Resources Defense Council, I'm following action lists, staying active. active, awake. We had become complacent. No more. Interested in your thoughts about what happens next? Where do you go from here? Are there action items on your list? Our number is 1-800-639-2211. But much like the exits to Montpelier, you may not be able to get through. So do an about face and go to our website, vpr.net, and post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page there. David's calling in from Montpelier. Hi, David. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, so I'm a Trump supporter. I was also I voted for Kerry and Obama twice, and I voted for Trump this time. I went to the march, and I wore a Donald Trump shirt, and I stood there with my dog, and I said a few slogans as protesters went by, or as marchers, such as, equality and justice for all, even conservatives. And I had many fascinating conversations with people who came up and said, I'd really like to just talk to a Trump supporter. Can we talk? I said, sure. And by the end of it, what we realize is we really see the world very similarly. And I think there's a huge connection between Trump supporters and Bernie supporters. And I think there's a lot of common ground. So my goal as a Vermonter and someone who supported Trump is to have conversations with people and let them get to know somebody who is a thoughtful person who cares about women, who cares about the environment, who cares about many issues that we share in common, but also happen to vote for somebody different.
David, do you think that you changed anybody's mind in any way, or did your mind get changed by anybody you had a conversation with?
Well, I don't know if I changed anybody's mind. I mean, I may have made them a little bit more friendly towards someone who would support Trump. I drive Uber, and I just had two passengers who came from the march. I just picked them up from the airport and dropped them off, and they were in Washington. And when you asked for people to call in who had different opinions, they said, that's laughable. Why would anybody want to listen to anybody else's opinion? I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want them to give me a bad score because I voted for Trump. Part of what I want to do is eradicate this idea that anybody that has a different opinion is somehow immoral or somehow a bad person. And so I think I changed more minds, and my mind was changed because I have no bad feelings for anybody who has a different opinion than me. I actually celebrated. I thought the march was wonderful.
Well, David, I appreciate you sharing your perspective, and certainly whether some people find it laughable or not, we really do want to hear different perspectives and different opinions, and I appreciate you calling in to share yours. More to come as we look at this weekend's marches and where this energy goes next. You can tell us what you're doing. Post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page or tweet us at Vermont Edition. You're listening to Vermont Edition. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. VPR's Rebecca Sinanis and Annie Russell are here with us today as we gather to hear the voices of men and women who marched on Washington, New York City, Boston, Montpelier, and elsewhere on Saturday. We're also inviting the voices of those who did not march to tell us your thoughts and feelings. And we're circling around this idea of next steps. What's next for you? Does this energy translate into action? Was it enough to feel a surge of support and protest together? Call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Rachel in Jamaica says, my son and I marched in part because we were down in the dumps and needed to change our emotional landscape, and in part because we were proud of others going, so it was upon us to march as well. It was also most important to teach my son about democracy, about the importance of protest in the face of injustice and foolish leaders. There is much we can do together, and we must come together to remember that roar together and find joy together as well. We will not be throwing away our signs. I'm curious to know, those of you who did have signs, are you throwing away your signs? Where are you putting them? And what about your hats? Will you be wearing your pussy hat out and about all winter long, or is that now going in the box along with newspapers that have headlines about the marches? You can post a note, you can post a photo on our Facebook page, or call 1-800-639-2211. just getting word now in the noon hour that it has officially been signed. It was long anticipated that Donald Trump would sign an executive order reinstating the global gag order. Now, the global gag order is basically blocks federal funding to any international organizations that either perform or even talk about abortions. And it had been anticipated that he might sign that executive order yesterday, which would have been the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. It sounds like he has signed it this morning. But he has now said no federal funds to international aid organizations that support or talk about or perform abortions. So I'm curious, for those of you who are pro-choice, who have been marching on reproductive rights, what do you do about that? Is that something that you take action on now? Is that some of what you are marching for or not? Again, the Vermont Edition Facebook page, a good place to have a conversation, or call 1-800-639-2211. Let's go to Agnes calling in from Brattleboro. Hi, Agnes. Go ahead.
Hi, I didn't know there was going to be a spontaneous rally in Brattleboro, so my friends and I went to the rally in Greenfield, Massachusetts, and after we parked and we went on the main street that goes to the common, we started seeing all these people with signs, and we started feeling the power, and we just delighted in joining the power. I personally went because I'm disabled, and I guess I get Social Security, and going, participating in it is my way to contribute to what I receive and to support the continuation of those benefits that are being threatened and that so many people deserve after working, you know, their whole life. And there I saw fathers and sons, little babies, boys, girls. I saw some young teenager girls singing on their own. They started "We Shall Overcome," and on their own also some women started to sing "This Land Is My Land," and it was, I think, what I told you why I went. Therefore, what I got out of it is hope. It's a sense of power that I've never really quite felt that before, even though I went to rallies before. To me, it was like all over the world, those rallies, those marches represented the key that you turn in the car to start with. And I think we have started the car running. And now we just have each of us different direction to go to. And between all of us women getting united and getting together, we're going to cover every directions on the map.
Interesting to hear that perspective, Agnes. I like the idea of a car turning over and an engine starting. I'm curious if that resonates with other marchers. You can tell us about it if you'd like. Stephanie says, I participated in the D.C. march. I'm a white woman of privilege who was able to afford to fly from Vermont and take a personal day off work. The march itself was surreal in how massive and warm it was. But in the days since, my white friends and I have remarked on how we need to stop congratulating ourselves and put our bodies on the line for our sisters of color. I hope that the march inspires many like me to get off the fence of safe outrage and donate and volunteer for organizations like Black Lives Matter that are run by people of color. I think this is especially important for Vermonters, where issues of race too often seem incidental or swept aside because we are a less diverse state. Let's go to Sean calling in from St. Johnsbury. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for taking my call. And I echo a lot of what your listeners have to say. One of the reasons why I went was I felt not only needing to show up and stand up, but to be amongst others and get that. I was trying to not get that good feel-good feeling, but recognize how important it is to be not only with like-minded people, but with people who are motivated. I work with Vermonters for Criminal Justice Reform, and as a person of color, our numbers are much larger. Our numbers are disproportionately compared to a white population. And at first, I didn't see many people of color there, so I was a little concerned. It was fabulous to see and hear Ebony speak. I felt I'm hoping that it wasn't what I would say for us to feel good about ourselves and seeing people of color up there, that there's really work to be done. It was wonderful to see the vast range of ages that was there. My one frustration is that after working with civil rights movement, with the women's movement back in the 70s, that we still need to be diligent, that here we are today, and as your listeners have said, maybe we have been complacent. I didn't think that I would be so motivated by someone like Donald Trump, but he moved me to not only do that, but I have my relatives. I have my sister in South Carolina who marched. I have cousins in Boston and in San Francisco, and New York City. It was amazing and historical. I was with some high school students from U32, and to see these young women be witness history was amazing.
Well, Shahan, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your perspective, especially as a woman of color in Vermont, looking at this rally perhaps from multiple perspectives and that idea of what happens next. Thanks very much for calling in. Fran in Weybridge also emailed to talk about what comes next, saying, I attended the D.C. march and it was amazing. So many people freely assembling and expressing our hopes for our country. I know Vermonters were there in large number. Here's one suggestion for anyone wanting to make a difference locally. Call your town clerk and ask if your town has an energy committee. If so, you can join and participate to help your community move forward on climate change. If you don't have an energy committee, it's easy to start one. Check out the website for the Vermont Natural Resources Council and find everything you need to know. I did this 5 years ago, and our energy committee is still going strong. Michelle in Bristol says, I'd like to challenge all the discourse I'm hearing on social media with the message, the march was great, but it won't mean anything if we get complacent. I'm not suggesting we sit back on our laurels here, but what happened on Saturday was momentous and historic. It does mean something. It does send a message, even all on its own. Why are we already being lectured about complacency after the largest mass march in history? Is this a feminist or anti-feminist sentiment, or did similar discussions happen after Black Lives Matter protests and other protests and marches? Rebecca Sinanis, again, you were at the march on Washington, D.C. with some Vermonters. What did you hear at that march from participants and from speakers and from all of the activity going on about what happens next and where it goes and what the importance is of a rally by itself versus taking action?
Yeah, well, I spent a fair amount of my time there with a group of high schoolers who actually didn't vote in this election because they were underage, but they did go to Washington and have their voice heard in this way. So I saw a lot of young people of a younger generation who were out there, and they seemed really fired up and ready to go. People seemed like they were ready to keep going, to march locally. I heard from people that part of the reason why they wanted to go to the D.C. march was to hear what the cohesive message was, like what happens next. They wanted to hear what the issues are for other people. Another thing that I think is interesting is a D.C. nonprofit called Martha's Table has put out a message asking for those who don't live in D.C. but did come down to the march to send their Metro cards that they may have bought to them. This Martha's Table works with people experiencing homelessness and low-income folks, and they're asking for people who marched in D.C. to send their Metro cards back. So there's maybe one small way in which just the fact that all of these people came to D.C., may be able to give back in one other small way to people living in D.C.
Yeah, Annie, I find it so interesting that some of the energy that was devoted to the march, you know, will be rechanneled and people are talking about issues that are not necessarily central to women's rights, whether we're talking about global climate change or criminal justice reform or other issues that certainly intersect with women's rights in interesting ways, but are not necessarily something as easily pinpointable as, say, reproductive rights. Are you hearing that from Vermonters?
Absolutely. I mean, while a lot of people mention reproductive rights, I mean, you heard everything from climate change was a big one. And I talked to a group of athletes, they're roller derby players, and they say, we want to see more women's sports covered in the national news media. And so there were so many different perspectives that were there, that that intersectionality, you really did see that.
Well, lots of action being taken. We'd love to hear what you're doing. You can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or on our Facebook page. Also, lots of reporting you can follow. You can certainly follow the reporting of Rebecca Sinanis and Annie Russell at vpr.net. And on Twitter, Annie, you're at?
At Annie M. Russell.
And Rebecca?
I'm at Rebecca Sinanis.
All right. And you can follow Vermont Edition at Vermont Edition or me at Jane Lindholm. That's it for today. Tomorrow, the first Syrian refugees have arrived in Rutland. NPR's Deborah Amos is here, too. She's been reporting on the Middle East and refugee issues for decades. So we're going to talk to her about how Rutland refugee resettlement figures into the national context and about the situation in Syria. If you have questions that you've been wondering about that, send a note to Vermont Edition at vpr.net and be sure to listen live tomorrow at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri, Sam Gail Rosen, and Meg Malone. Jake Rusnak directed the program. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels, and our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.